Have you ever complained against your boss? It is expected to complain against boss if you are an employee, but someone confidently claimed, "I never complained against my any boss." And a curious listener asked, "So why won't you complain?" "Well, I am my own boss. I am self-employed." "Well, that is a clever idea to avoid complaining against boss." Many years ago, there was a believer, and she considered resigning from her job because her boss was very harsh to her. But she was also very hesitant to resign because she really likes her job, and the job paid well. So she was very hesitant to quit her job. And she asked believers to pray for her, other believers. And one believer suggested, "Pray. Pray for your boss." "What should I pray? This boss is so harsh. Why should I pray?" "Pray for your boss to be blessed, and that she would be promoted, and so that she would be transferred, so the boss would be you have another boss. Your boss would be changed, or it might be that you would be promoted and replace your boss. But the Lord would not answer if you say that your boss would there's something happen bad for the boss. The Lord would not bless that prayer." So they prayed. And after a week, her boss was promoted. He was transferred to another department. Answered prayer, right? But it's not very amusing turn of event for her, because before her boss was promoted and transferred to another department, she quit her job and applied in another company. And she started again as regular employee with minimum wage. It's true that it's a real story. Have you ever heard individuals who claim, "I have faith in God, I have faith in Christ, I believe in Christ, I believe Jesus Christ is my Savior," but when it comes to practical problem, they just cannot trust Christ to save them? Who is Christ as Savior to us? Friends, do you believe that Christ saved you from eternal punishment? Can you say amen to that? How confident are you that you are saved from hell? Did you ever receive the gift of eternal life? Can you personally believe without any little hint of doubt that Christ has already saved you from undesirable predicament, and not just from hell? So reflect on this. If Christ has the power to give us eternal life, He can easily help us to live a lifestyle, to live life in its fullness. This is why the Lord Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life abundantly." Even in practical things. If Christ has the power to save us from hell or eternal death, He can easily save each of us from any problem. So what concern do you have that is worse than death? Death has been defeated by Christ. If Christ has defeated death, it's sure He can defeat any problem that we have. He can save us from any concern that we don't like. Let's read again verse 14. It says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Now, what is it that we believe when we say that we have faith in Christ? What is it that we believe? What are the details of our belief in Christ? Today we recall Jesus Christ. He was tortured, he was crucified, he was buried, and he resurrected. The torture that the Lord Jesus Christ endured, it was a divine requirement, necessary punishment for our sin in the past, in the present, and in the future. Jesus Christ was tortured in our place. Can you believe that? When Jesus died on the cross, when he was crucified, he took our sin, each of our sin. He took the sin and nailed them on the cross. So each time they hammer the nail, its hammer, its pounding of the nail. My sin, your sin, have been nailed with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Can you sense the magnitude or the hurt that the Lord Jesus Christ endured? People are mocking at the crucifixion of Christ, and they want to be crucified because they think they can endure. Physically, it's true they can. But how is it that billions of torture and punishment, only the Lord Jesus Christ was able to endure? The requirement of God for us to be freed from sin was endured by the Lord Jesus. His blood shed on the cross, it washed away our sins. Can you imagine how your sin, our sin, washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we become clean and perfectly clean before the Lord? The Lord sees in its believer the Lord Jesus Christ's blood, the blood of Christ in its person, and God won't see any sin in believers anymore by faith. That is what we believe. Our old self had been crucified with Christ. So we are freed from the slavery of sin. Can you believe that? And the name Jesus, what does it mean? Jesus means Yahweh save. God is salvation. What does it mean, Christ? Christ means the anointed one. Jesus Christ means the anointed Savior, anointed Son of God, anointed Savior who saves all believers. It is the love of God is offered to everyone, but only believers would be saved. Christ resurrected from the dead. He returned to heaven and prepared a place for each believer. He will return to take us into His heaven. Can you believe that? This is why we celebrate, we rejoice during Resurrection Sunday, to remember that day when we will be with the Lord our Savior forever. Check yourself now. If you have any hint of doubt, pray for increase of faith. Lord, increase my faith. If you sense a little hint of doubt that Jesus Christ was tortured in your place, if you have a little hint of doubt that Christ was crucified with your sins, with our old self, if you have a little hint of doubt that the blood of Jesus Christ washed our sins away, if you have a little doubt that Christ died, buried with our sin that the Lord took from us, if you have a little doubt that Christ returned to heaven, prepares a place for you, and that He will return and take us into His heaven. If you have a little hint of doubt, if you see in yourself, you sense like, I cannot believe just yet fully, pray. But if you have that confidence, thank God. Shall we pause for a moment and personally thank God, thank Christ for His sacrifice? Shall we do that? Here's an advice that you may do. In our website, Kuya Max posted the manuscript in there. The manuscript I'm reading is in the website. So if you are clever and you want to memorize how you may explain the gospel of Christ, what we truly believe, why we say we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, just copy and put it in a little piece of paper and reread it, and memorize it so that when somebody asks you, why do you believe in Christ? I believe in Christ. Christ was tortured, crucified for my sin, and the Lord took away my sin and be crucified with Christ. Christ was buried, and my old life was buried, Christ resurrected, and the Lord resurrected me. I am resurrected into new life with Christ. Now, memorize that. That is what we believe in Jesus Christ. It's not just, I believe that Jesus Christ, not just intellectually, but in personal application, we can see that there are changes, really changes happened in our life. Do that if you would. Until you still sense a little hint of doubt that you really are eternally saved, keep praying. Lord, help me grow in faith. Keep praying for increase of faith. It's not overnight that you will have complete strong confidence in the Lord. I don't know if somebody would say that when he accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they already have that confidence and go and serve the Lord right after they accepted Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. I don't know yet in this generation who had that experience. Meaning, our faith is not overnight that it would grow confident. No, it's little by little the Lord would put us in a situation where we can grow in our confidence in Him. And until you don't sense that joy and peace, meaning you still have a little hint, don't deceive yourself. Search your heart if you have that joy and peace from God that practically help you know and have confidence that the Holy Spirit of Christ lives in you. The Holy Spirit of Christ, the Lord sent into our life as guarantee that we have eternal life that Christ truly lived in us. Apostle Paul explained in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. Let's read together. Now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our heart as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now, search your heart. Do you sense the Holy Spirit? Don't try to deceive yourself by claiming, I have faith in Christ, I have faith. No, everyone can say that. Everyone can say they are Christian. And yet we cannot see practical manifestation of their life that they have faith. How can you make sure that you have active faith in Christ? Deeds, good deeds, these are practical proof of faith. What kind of deeds are product of saving faith in Jesus Christ? Not just good deed. Everyone is good. Every person, non-believers, can be good. Deeds produced by the Holy Spirit of Christ, they are practical proof that we really are saved. When the Holy Spirit of Christ produces good deeds, good fruits in our lives, it is when Christ reigns. It is when Christ is really active in our life. Now, if you are not yet very sure that you are really have that faith in Christ, or if you are not really sure that your life produces good deeds, well, start by participating in church ministries until you personally have that confidence and discover how God wants you to specifically practice your faith in Him. We need to be observant of our mindset. We need to be observant of our decision. We decide in our, the way we decide for career, decide the family or material things. Our attitude, if we are transformed from worldly lifestyle to new godly lifestyle, try to observe it. If you sense and observe concrete transformation in your life, pray earnestly and thank God. But if you cannot see concrete transformation that you have believed in Christ, pray earnestly. Pray fervently. Lord, fill me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me, Lord. Empower me. If you would cry to the Lord. Crying means sometimes it helps us be very sincere. Many people can be sincere without crying, but to be emotionally involved, it shows in us that how deep our concern to have that strong faith in the Lord. Pray that Christ reign as Lord, as the master of your life. Pray. Keep praying. Times will come, our life, old life, try to contradict new life. I think this is more exciting than those things. Look at the life of this Christian. Look at the life of this non-Christian. Life of the non-Christian are more exciting somehow. Well, that is the old life dictating you. Now, spring surely come in a few weeks, hopefully. And many of you are excited to plant their favorite flowers, beautiful flowers like this. Have your tulip sprouted already? Nag-umpisa na bang lumabas ng mga tulip ninyo? Sayang, natabunan ulit ng snow. I don't know. I hope they will endure. Before the huge snow that came, we were looking at our yard and tulip were coming out. And if you are planning to plant flowers, vegetables, bushes, or trees, continue to pray that snow will just come next year again, not this year. So when planting seed, we plant seed. I have seeds here. I want some seed. Tomato seeds. You want? And basil seeds. When planting from seed, it needs to be buried and die. And unless the seed is buried and die, it won't sprout. It won't come to a new life. It won't sprout to a new life. Similarly, we have to die to our sinful old self before we can have new life in Christ. How can we die to our old self? By faith. By faith we believe that the Lord took our sins, they were crucified with Christ and buried our old life with Christ. Our old worldly lifestyle was buried with Christ. When Christ resurrected, we resurrected to new life in Christ by faith. That is what we believe, by faith. Now, many times we sense like our old lifestyle still keep on trying to manipulate us. But when you sense that, ask the Lord, Lord, help me. This old life of mine still keep coming, trying to control me. Increase my faith to trust that you, my old life had been buried with Christ. By faith, we believe that the Lord sent the Holy Spirit of Christ into our hearts as guarantee that we have been resurrected to new life in Jesus Christ. And when He returns, He takes us into His heaven and live with Him for all eternity. We've got to personally, practically experience the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And not just trying to say, I believe. Why is that? Let Christ be Lord of our life to empower us. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in our life when He empowers us. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is practical proof that we receive the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is active in our life. That Christ is Lord in our life. It's good to memorize the fruit of the Spirit, actually, to keep on looking at ourselves, if we really have. Can you recite the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Keep praying. So, sense your heart. For example, there's concern, difficult concern. Do I have joy? Do I have peace? If you are disturbed and worry is not fruit of the Spirit. If worry overtakes, fruit of the Spirit will diminish. It is when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit that we can have love, joy, peace, patience, and spontaneously be kind and good to others. Spontaneously. Not trying to force to be good, to be kind, just to prove that we have faith in the Lord. If there's a little bit of resistance, little bit of hesitation of helping others, don't try to force, because you say, oh, aren't you the son, the daughter of church leader in the People's Evangelical Church? Aren't you the son, daughter of the pastor? Aren't you a leader of the church? Why can't you not see? People would try to pressure you. Let Christ be Lord. We should not suppose that we have to be good, that we should have to be kind to others on our own effort. Don't force that. It should be spontaneous kindness, spontaneous goodness that comes from the heart. Let's read again verse 15 and 16. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Now you may have observed critics against Christians left and right on social media. You post something that you believe, and then critics would say, oh, that's not a Christian, why? Or say something to discredit you. Observers expect Christians to act like Jesus Christ. And truly, Jesus Christ has exemplified to us how we Christians should live as children of God, as citizens of heaven. And many believers, we are pressured. We try our best effort to be good, be kind to others. And yet, there's no consistency of kindness, no consistency of goodness. Why is that? They fail because they fail to wait for the empowerment of the Lord, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. They just jump in and act according to expectation, because this person, observer, expects the believer to do this. The believer is pressured to do it. Friends, the Lord Jesus has clearly advised us to wait. Wait until we receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes on us, the result would be spontaneous goodness and kindness to others. Not trying to force the issue or just to show others that we are Christians. And many times, I don't want to introduce myself as pastor, but when I met a stranger, and introduce myself, I'm Lorenzo. Where do you live? I live in Maples. What's your work? I'm a teacher. Where do you teach? At Inkster Boulevard. If I say I am a pastor, immediately they would think, oh, this is a pastor. And then try to nitpick what could be criticized or something. At least if they say, oh, you are good, yeah, praise God. It's the Lord who makes me good. Actually, I am not a very good person. So when we testify of transformed lifestyle, Christ would be glorified in us as our Lord. It's because Christ who empower us. So keep praying, Lord Jesus, please fill me, empower me with your Holy Spirit. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Even when you're driving, even when you're in the grocery, if you sense like there's some kind of undesirable feeling, when you are in an undesirable situation, pray immediately, Lord, fill me, empower me with your Holy Spirit. Keep praying until you practically sense the empowerment of the Lord. You will sense that. You will sense that joy. You will sense that peace, even when undesirable situations, if you are in undesirable situation, you know that Christ is with you. You can just smile because you know that the Lord is in control. At workplaces, school, grocery stores, park, anywhere we go, there will always be opportunities for us to test if we can be good in our action. We can speak kind words to others spontaneously, not trying to flatter people. Like, for example, if you see somebody, oh, I like your shirt, or I like your hairstyle, or I like, you don't try to impress them or try to get their attention. It's because it overflow, you just want to say something good spontaneously. If our lifestyle, our manner, attitude results of praises and gratitude to the Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit is actively at work in our life. You know it yourself because you yourself would be thankful. And even if you are a very emotional person, you can just randomly have tears dropping from your eyes because of praise, thankfulness in your heart. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Let's read. He has made everything beautiful in its time. There are Christians, many times I look at the Facebook of Maribel and read comments under or posts of some Christians. They would say to themselves, "Oh, I'm ugly, but I'm not that good." But they observe the negative things in their lives, and then it reminds me of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. God made everything beautiful in its time. At least in the eyes of God, we are beautiful. Amen. Christ has become Lord in our life when we sense that in the eyes of the Lord, there's good thing sprouting in your inner being. That is when Christ is in our life. Something good sprouts from us. There was this older adult. He's often busy doing something in the neighborhood. During winter, he shovels snow. He removes ice and the pathways. In spring, he tends yards and gardens. And during summer, he cut grasses, trim trees, pick up garbage, pick up trash on the ground. In autumn, he prepares the soil for spring planting, rakes fallen leaves. Year after year, we've been almost 3 years where we are right now, and still that person is consistent. His activities all year long includes front yard maintenance in the neighborhood. I don't know where he lives, but I observed that he would do something in this yard, and the other next day I see him on the next yard of other house. Anyone who observes him busy doing something good in the neighborhood, I wondered also if the man is paid to clean and maintain front yard and pathways of others. I was thinking of that. Paid or just volunteer work, he is doing a remarkable job consistently all year long. Not just during fine weather. Early in the morning, late in the afternoon. If the sun is still not set, he's still there doing something. If he's not paid for maintaining cleanliness in the neighborhood, his consistency exemplified a virtue that Christians should possess at workplaces or neighborhood. Christians, when you are paid at work and still complain of your work, check again. Ask the Lord, "Lord, fill me, empower me. I don't like complaining." You don't like complaining, you grow old. You grow white hair. They say, "Why? Why so scared of white hair? White hair is good. White hair is nice. It's bright. Brightens the face." So if you have white hair, praise God. It's a sign of wisdom, according to the Bible. When Christ is Lord of our life, we grow not just white hair, we grow in faith, we grow in our consistency of goodness, kindness. Consistency is Christian virtue. Can you say that? Consistency is Christian virtue. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 17, let's read this together meditatively. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as member of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in words or deeds, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Can you repeat that? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, give thanks to God the Father through him. The celebration of the resurrection of Christ. It reminds us of his promised return to take us into his heaven. Friends, are you excited if our Lord Jesus returns today? Can you sense that excitement in your heart? Make sure that you have faith in Christ. Make sure that your faith is active and not idle. Active faith helps us earn eternal treasures in heaven. When the Holy Spirit of Christ is active in us, he clothes us with compassion. He clothes us with kindness, with humility, gentleness, and patience, not trying to force ourselves. Those virtues synchronize with faith, and it will earn us eternal treasure. In verse 17 of our passage, it says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Action and faith, when they are synchronized, we know that our faith is active. When faith is genuine and active, it synchronizes with good work. Faith and good works, they are inseparable twins. Active faith is manifested practically in good works. Faith without good work is dead and useless. Active faith produces faithfulness. Another term for faithfulness is consistency. Faithfulness is consistency. Active faith results to consistent good work and lifestyle, consistent lifestyle. The faith in Christ as Lord is exhibited when we allow Christ to empower us so that our lifestyle produces goodness and kindness. Now, if you may have watched this video posted online, I did not put that in the PowerPoint, but imagine this. There was this video. There was this shirtless person, no shirt, only towel wrapped around his waist. And then that man with towel around his waist about to step on a bathtub. So you are thinking that he was about to take a bath in a bathtub. And then suddenly here comes a woman with a grinder and cut the bathtub into two. And put the bathtub together, put some screw, welded it, and put some rebars, concrete, and bricks on the sides. And then it turned out as pizza oven, concrete pizza oven. And then in the end of the video, the presenters cook pizza and they ate. Beautiful video, right? It attracted. Can you imagine that's very creative to make pizza oven? Very nice. The video was made for just online show to attract viewers, to attract subscribers, and it pays, right? But think about it. The producer of the video destroyed that beautiful bathtub to build a concrete pizza oven, crushed ceramics, and make it into small pieces, that ceramic tiles, and put those ceramic tiles, beautiful ceramic tiles, on top of the oven as a decoration, and then they assembled that concrete pizza oven in the middle of a driveway, brick driveway, in front of a garage, attached to a beautiful house. Think about that inconvenience. That's a driveway. That's a garage. And then they build that concrete pizza oven in that garage, on that driveway, brick driveway, beautiful driveway, in front of a garage. How inconvenient that would be. Illogical, right? The concrete pizza oven in the middle of a driveway block the garage door. How can you park inside the garage? Or how can the car inside the garage come out? A lot of time, effort, resources are wasted, right? But if the video garners or attracts millions of viewers and subscribers, they wasted effort, time, money, but they profited. The Lord Jesus teaches us to be wise with material wealth. In Luke chapter 16, verse 8 to 9, he said, "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than all the people of the light." I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it is gone, you will be welcome into eternal dwelling. When we actively practice our faith in God, it's synchronized with good works and kindness to others. We come and worship God together with other believers in a sanctuary every Sunday. To other people, it appears like a lot of time, lot of effort, resources are wasted. But if goodness and kindness to others are synchronized with our faith in God, we benefit more blessed, actually. We are more blessed, actually. I've shared a few years ago that friends of ours decided to close their store on Sundays. And relatives, friends who have stores in the same area, they are just smearing, maybe cannot understand why you close stores on Sundays in Baguio City. Sunday's store, if open on Sunday, it's when tourists comes, buyers comes, and yet this friend close their store on Sundays just to attend worship. Well, that store they have on that area did not fare well with the surrounding stores. It did not gain more than the surrounding store. But they were more blessed. You know why? Because they have expanded their business outside that area, outside the city. They have gone nationally and internationally. They are more blessed than those who don't want to close their store. God can bless in a very wonderful way. And I praise God whenever I saw them. I saw their store close on Sundays because I know that God is working, doing something great in their life. Apostle Paul testified in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Let's read together. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the word of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Goodness and kindness to others is some sort of eternal investment, actually, in the Lord. We are investing. Most often, we are focused on receiving blessing from God. Well, I am blessed, I'm blessed. Why are you blessed? I have this, the Lord gave me this, the Lord gave me that. But as God blessed each of you, as God blessed each of us, we also share our blessing. He would continue to bless us all the more to be generous to individuals that he brings to our attention. Just imagine, we are channels of his blessing, not some kind of stagnant swamp where blessing. Imagine this cup. If the Lord continue to pour out blessing, if there's blessing, full of blessing in this cup, and you still ask the Lord, bless me more? No. Why? It's just overflow. Just overflow. And you do not want to overflow, then you cannot add to your blessing. But if you let it overflow, if you let it overflow, the Lord continue to refresh you more. Now, imagine water. If you want to experiment on this during summer, put it on a bowl or a piece of glass or glass cup. Put it in sunshine. Allow that for a week or two, and it will have a lot of, what's that, green moss? Moss. And you cannot drink that water. Sayang. Kind like. Sayang. Similarly, you want it always fresh. And when the Lord bless us and we allow it to overflow, his blessing will always be fresh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 to 11, let's read. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving. That is what the Lord wants to see. As we become generous, people would be thanking the Lord even without our knowledge. In the business world, there are successful businessmen, successful investors, and those who failed, who went bankrupt. In God's kingdom, we can be successful when we practice our faith in Him, as we also grow stronger in our confidence in the Lord. And the more we understand the ways of the Lord, the more we grow confident in Him, and the more we practice our faith. King David had declared his personal experience in Psalm 84, verse 10 to 12. Let's read this. 11 to 12. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good things does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. By faith, we become blameless. By faith, we believe that the Lord had crucified our old self with Christ, that the Lord buried our old self with Christ, and now we resurrected with Christ, and now we are blameless before God by faith. If you cannot imagine that reality in your life, keep asking the Lord. Lord Almighty, King David prayed, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Blessed. Supreme happiness is had the one who trusts in the Lord Almighty. King David was a lowly shepherd before he became king. He understood personally, experienced how shepherd in his time, they were not adequate in terms of material things. But David enjoyed his every moment in his life as shepherd because his faith was growing stronger. His faith in the Lord was growing stronger. Ask the Lord, help me grow strong in my faith. In your situation, maybe you still have dreams out there. But if you can still enjoy what you are, like King David, good shepherds make sure that their flock have food to eat and water to drink. They make sure that their flock are safe from intruders or from any disease. David trusted the Lord, like the sheep trusted in him as their shepherd. And when the right time came, the Lord took David, the shepherd boy, from shepherding the flock to be shepherd of the people of God. God has perfect timing in everything he does. He makes everything beautiful in its time. Amen. Can you strongly believe that? Can you strongly confess to yourself that you trust the Lord as your shepherd? Can you strongly believe that the Lord will provide your material and spiritual need? Keep practicing faith in God. Active faith synchronized with goodness and kindness to others. So look at your lifestyle. When God's perfect time comes, you will find yourself in the very perfect situation that the Lord has designed specifically for you. Can you believe that? Can you say amen to that? See, you cannot even say amen because there's still doubt, right? There's still doubt. So I suggest keep on asking the Lord to increase your faith. When God's perfect time for you come, you will certainly praise him and thank him. You even want to cry. If God had endured, let's reflect this for the last time. If God had endured, God the Father had endured the agony and the pain looking at his, knowing that his son Jesus Christ had been tortured, crucified, died sacrificially just for believers to be saved from hell or eternal punishment. He surely wants to bless us in ways that make us grateful of him. Christ resurrected, he returned to heaven, prepares a place for you and me. He will soon return to take us into his heaven anytime from now. Make sure you have genuine faith in him. Pray for increase of faith. If you sense little hint of doubt about your faith, and make sure you have practical proof of your faith in Christ. Active faith synchronized with goodness and kindness to others. Shall we pray? And let's stand up and give thanks to God. And let's pray. Let's thank God for the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross and the hope he gave us of his return when the Christ resurrected and returned to heaven. Ask for increase of faith if you still have doubt. Ask until you sense that joy and peace in your heart and mind.